Market View on Money FM 89.3.
This Thursday evening is all about trade as the world's two largest economies hold court and resume trade negotiations in Washington, D.C. Much is at stake with regards to the outcome and the outlook or expectations at the end of this two-day summit is looking relatively hazy, with some highlighting the potential of talks breaking down after just one day and other news outlets pointing out that an interim trade deal might actually be within striking distance. What exactly is at stake for markets here and across the region? Well, today on Market View, we are joined on the line by Mr. Song Seung-won, the economist at CIMB, to help us understand unpack what exactly is at stake for markets moving forward, and especially on the back of these very important trade talks. Mr. Song, thank you so much for joining us, and good afternoon.
My pleasure. I wish we can find an answer. I think we're better off having good, comfortable meal than finding a resolution to the trade tension at this juncture. But anyway, let's come back to business.
Yeah, I know. So, but as you mentioned, Mr. Song, as you know, expectations are relatively mixed, and it depends on which newspaper you're reading. The South China Morning Post said it's that not much progress was made at the deputy level discussions. But Bloomberg is saying now that there could be an interim deal that's hinging around a potential currency pact. Look, how is this clouding your outlook on the upcoming discussions, because it seems that it could go either which way and rather volatile heading into the talks.
Indeed. I think basically we can clearly see, this is, remember, the 13th round of high level talks now, and we have seen, I think the Chinese basically realized a while ago that the U.S. negotiation tactic is pretty straightforward in terms of maximum pressure ahead of the talks itself. And certainly we can see why we are all very worried in terms of maximum pressure applied all these weeks have come from many, many fronts itself, whether it's about visa restriction for Chinese officials, whether it's expanding entity list on more Chinese tech companies itself, beyond more names, talking about restriction of capital flows itself. So whether this is just, I suppose, the standard negotiating tactic remains to be seen. But obviously, we know that from the Chinese side, they obviously want to have a productive meeting itself, because I think they know that this is going nowhere at this juncture itself, and especially since there is that threat and risk of the U.S. administration implementing the October 15 tariff hike from, 25% to 30% on the U.S. $250 billion worth of imports itself, or basically half of U.S. imports itself. So many things on the plate, in which obviously I think the key one, if that can be resolved, as far as if there's any success, it will be that the steep tariff hike be postponed, if there is anything. That in itself, I think, already would be a mini victory for the markets itself. So we'll see. From the Chinese side, they're certainly taking things extremely seriously, because we are talking about a far larger team. The delegation is typically around 20, 30 people in previous talks itself. This time, very high level, 50-plus members, including the central bank governor itself. You're usually talking about 8 or 9 ministerial level officials going to the U.S. itself. So we will very clearly see what will happen day one itself, as far as we are markets concerned, whether we are going to be seeing the Chinese staying through the planned 2 days or whether they say it's not going to go anywhere and we could our trip, etc., as well.
Right.
So much on the table.
Right. But the thing is, too, Mr. Song, the possibility that tariffs on $250 billion worth of Chinese goods might come back online next week.
Indeed,
can you help us understand what kind of impact this might have on markets and global economies? What exactly will you be bracing for in terms of a pullback, based on what you're seeing, at least from you, how you're reading the numbers, if the worst happens?
Market sentiment already wobble. We've seen that reflected in our Singapore economy in terms of orders, output, in terms of our growth being revised down already sharply itself. Regional growth, exports momentum have all slowed. And essentially, if tariff continue to mount, essentially we have seen impact on the goods sector spreading into services as well. So services is essentially, you know, depending on where we are, anything from two-thirds of the economy, essentially. So it will have an impact if confidence to businesses, household, continue to be hammered by escalation in trade fight itself. So for trade-oriented economy, small one, especially like Singapore itself, essentially it means that services, which are held up reasonably well over the course of the last 1 year, may see significant pressure in the coming year itself, just because of a broadening and a steepening in tariffs. There's more goods and services.
So do you think that this could already starting to seep into consumer sentiment here? We've seen that there are actually pressure manufacturing in Singapore for the most part.
Yeah.
Is it going to start to seeping into consumer sentiment, or is it already impacting it as
you
speak?
Already impacting itself. I think the only consolation we see from now is the year-on-year growth seems to be flattening out. Instead of, you know, down by minus 20%, we are year on year, we are down minus 10%. So that is some consolation itself. We have seen in the vulnerable tech sector itself, it looks like from guidances being issued, like I think yesterday, or Tuesday, itself, Samsung Electronics saying, you know, sales is only down by
56%.
Only.
Yes.
So that's already not as bad as first fear. So this kind of little news that we hope to see cheers from in that, it's still down. It may not be as bad as what is being forecast earlier because global economy is still hanging in there, supported by labor markets condition being still reasonably resilient. But obviously, if the trade fight and worries continue to persist, then hiring within the services sector, which has held up global economy, may also start to come under pressure. And then we'll see, you know, it filter down to us on the street and at home here in Singapore.
We're still speaking to Mr. Song Seung-won, economist at CIMB. Mr. Song, I want to focus now on another asset class that might actually feel it first, and it's a very sensitive one of that, the Forex markets. You know, prolonged economic weakness could lead to the Fed cutting rates, but we could also see a bad outcome actually weaken the Chinese yuan even more. Can you give us your take on how this might rock Forex markets moving forward, especially since the Singapore dollar is also very sensitive to movements by the Chinese yuan and the U.S. dollar?
Very straightforward. I think the irony is that the Chinese Central Bank has been buying Chinese currency, dollar itself, to help essentially stop the Chinese currency from essentially weakening further, because essentially, you know, it's determined by the markets itself. If the underlying economic fundamental of China is weaker, as we see now, it's only natural that the currency itself weakens alongside. We've seen that with all countries. Brexit uncertainty has pushed pressure on the sterling. Singapore economy seeing, you know, downward pressure. Our Sing dollar weakened as well. So no reason to think that the Chinese currency is going to be different itself. Currencies reflects the fundamentals of the economy. If the Chinese economy is going to be still under pressure because of escalation in trade fight, inevitable that the Chinese currency itself will be weaker. I think certainly as far as the forex market is concerned, there is quite clear evidence that the Chinese currency isn't undervalued or overvalued itself. But obviously from the U.S. administration standpoint, they could still use that as a reason, look, the Chinese is weakening their currencies to help boost exports. But I think, obviously, that's a wrong, a way to look at it at this juncture, when currencies are more or less dictated by the fundamentals of the underlying economy itself.
All right. Let's try to try to be a little bit more optimistic here, Mr. Song. What kind of upside could this be? Could there be for local markets? Should there be a potential interim deal, or even if both sides decide, you know, we haven't agreed to anything, but we're going to meet again next month or in December? Do you think either of these might yield some upside for markets and the economy? And what kind of upside do you think that might be?
Short term, I mean, we have seen, we said earlier, you know, this upcoming is the 13th. Round of high-level talks already, and so far trade fight has worsened, and it includes more and more items being put on the table that, all towards trying to pressure China to come to a deal, which I think isn't going to be so simple as what Donald Trump said at the beginning, he thinks that trade war are easy to win itself. So from the market standpoint, I think it's just going to be a case of if it doesn't get worse in terms of, say, the 25% tariff going to 30, it's going to be pushed back again, say, by another 2 weeks, another month or so, there will be, I think, already a mini victory on its own itself. But I think beyond that, it's really going to be a case of whether consumer and businesses can still take all these in their stride, so to say. And this is where the focus may come back and focus on the earnings side, which will be coming through in bigger numbers next week in Singapore. Obviously, we have seen we will be looking at all the REITs reporting data numbers, etc., as well. So REITs will be in the spotlight itself. So earnings numbers we'll be looking at. But people are looking at earnings recession, but as we've seen from the Samsung numbers itself, as long as it's not as bad as what is fear, we could still see the market being supported. But October tends to be always very volatile for markets. For different reasons itself. So perhaps it will be the same again this time around with trade, geopolitics, all these things weighing on sentiment. So news flow will dictate, you know, a volatility in the market. So it can be a very stressful month.
And just quickly, Mr. Song, before we let you go, you hit it the nail right on the head. The one thing that's constant here is that there's volatility in the markets. So how would you advise investors to brace themselves for continued volatility should it persist for the rest of the year?
Well, has been for the last year and a bit, going forward probably the same. So it is still about diversified portfolio itself. It's still about safe haven assets itself. Looking for yield is getting harder and harder itself. So defensive strategy is continuing to be the theme for everybody itself. Which is why we continue to see, I think, gold being well supported itself, currencies which seem safe haven, even though at this moment we'll say the dollar seems to be more at risk, but that continue to be the most liquid assets. We continue to see the yen being supported as well. So all these things, I think, still essentially means that people stay very, very defensive, staying with what they are already very familiar with. And for those who are trading inclined, it's a very good trading market, but you have to be on the ball all the time. So if you are not, you just stay passive with defensive portfolio itself. Easier said than done, but that's the only way I think we can write it out if we indeed were to write it out.
Definitely no room for error in these times. Mr. Song Seung Won, Chief Economist at CIMB Private Banking, thank you so much for joining us today ahead of the talks. We appreciate your time, sir.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.